called The Sheer Press Fine. You are now being transferred to broadcast. To end, hang up.
Good morning, Rabbi Sy. Our limud of Chofetz Chaim is Lizchus Refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chailash, Dov Ben Refuah Shlema, Bekorov, Mamash. So, we were speaking about the conditions attached to the Het of Apeit Loso. And the first condition that we said, which we mentioned yesterday, was that that the person who repeated, he heard something bad about someone, like, and I deliberately use the example of when I tell you something from this pulpit about somebody that, you know, so that he's been convicted of something, he's sitting in prison or something, as a previous member of this year, and maybe he's listening in from Wandsworth at the moment. But, yeah, so that that piece of information, right, I am allowed, once you've heard it, Apeit Loso, says the Rambam, you're allowed to mention it further, but only in conversation. In other words, if it just happened to come up, or you're a member of HKMS and you're discussing how many meals you need to send to a particular prison, or if people are just generally speaking about how many Eden are there, how many from Eden ever go to prison, or for what sort of offences, or something like that, and the conversation happened to come up, or somebody asked me, you know, where is so-and-so, I haven't seen him in Toyaway for some time, that's a different thing. But if the intention is just to gossip, you know, you go home and you tell your wife, I heard something really interesting. You know, Plonio lives around the corner. You know what happened to him? He was taken to prison. He was accused of this, etc. And you tell her, you're just simply speaking gossip. Says the Chofetz Chaim, even the Rambam will say that although he allows Apeit Loso, that once you've heard something, it's out in the open, then you can tell it further. Only you've done no aveira if you happen to mention it in the middle of a conversation. But if your kavona is to disparage that person and to speak badly about the person to somebody else, that would not be mutter. Next, that's condition number one. Condition number two, says the Rambam, is, says the Chofetz Chaim, pshat in the Rambam, that that only the person, that means if I tell you that I saw someone, I mention a name, doesn't matter, I'm not going to mention a name, I saw someone talking during Chazaras HaShatz, and he does it every day. Yeah? So then, I am the one who saw it, says the Chofetz Chaim. And if I say that Apeit Loso, if I stand from this pulpit and I told you that Pliny Almoini speaks regularly during Shemoneh Esra, I've seen it with my own eyes, says the Chofetz Chaim, the Rambam will say, now it's Apeit Loso, I said it in front of three people, the word is out, it's public knowledge now, therefore you people who heard it from me are allowed to say it further. But the people who hear it from you can't say it further. In other words, it's first-hand knowledge, and you've got it a second-hand. I've got it first-hand because I saw what was done or what was said or whatever it is. I told you about it. Whether it was Be'issa or whether it was Be'heta doesn't make any difference. The fact is, I've told you about it. I'm a first-hand witness. You heard it from me. You're allowed to say it further, but the people who hear it from you can't, says the Chofetz Chaim. So you've only got, the Chofetz Chaim saying that we've got so many rules involved in this Apeit Loso that eventually you'll say, you know what, it's just not worth it. And the next thing, the next one, the next rule, which is why I mentioned specifically that I tell you the Lashon Hara from this pulpit, is that if the audience are people who don't speak Lashon Hara, if you've got an audience of people who come every day to a shir, and they're constantly thinking when they say something that maybe this is Lashon Hara and maybe it's not. Yeah. So therefore there is no assumption anymore that if I tell you something that you'll all go and blabber it all over town. In fact, there isn't even an assumption that one of you will. Never mind three, yeah, or 10 or 15 or 20 or however many people are listening to what I've said. The fact is that there's no assumption, if you're talking about Yireim or Shleimim, people who are interested in Hilchas Lashon Hara, and people who are conscious of what they say, then your average people who are just sort of average Balabatim, and many of them don't ever think about Hilchas Lashon Hara, and don't think, you know, they walk around with a misconception, for instance, that if it's true, it isn't Lashon Hara. I heard that from somebody just this week. Said, of course, the rule number one is, if it's true, it isn't Lashon Hara. And rule number one is that if it's true, it is Lashon Hara. So, yeah, but Mamashi literally said that to me, because he asked me on Shabbos, oh, where are you up to? You know, where are you up to when you're in your Hilchos Loshon Hara Shiur in Torah Way? Just asked me to, you know, after davening on Shabbos, and I said, oh, we're doing this, that, and the other. So, and he happened to mention, you know, well, if it's true, of course, it isn't Loshon Hara. And of course, if it's true, it is Loshon Hara. And that's and I told him, I said, that's Chofetz Chaim, Klal Aleph, Halacha Aleph. The very first thing that Chofetz Chaim says, let's dispel this myth straight away. But it's a myth, and, you know, that's what people think. Anyway, so in our particular case, if I tell you over bad information about someone, and I'm saying it to people who are interested in Hilchos Loshon Hara, and who care about Loshon Hara, and who think twice before they say things, then there isn't any more, says the Rambam, says the Chofetz Chaim, in Pshat in the Rambam, of Kol Milsa de Besamra Apet Loso, that you can assume that because I've said it to three people, the word is out and it's going to get around town. Yeah, he says, that's not true anymore. Because these people are not people who speak Loshon Hara, and the word won't get out about town. And he says even more than that, says Chofetz Chaim. He says that even if one out of three, I say it to three people. So my heta is, once three people are going around town, and they're three average people who speak Loshon Hara, then I can't what's called. Says Chofetz Chaim, but even if only one of them is a person who does not speak Loshon Hara, then my audience of Loshon Hara speakers is only two. So I've only now said it, but I'll pay two, and I haven't said it, but I'll pay Klosso, because only two out of the three are going to speak Loshon Hara, maybe. Then I've only said it's as if I said it in front of two people. So that's the Chofetz Chaim. Therefore, I need to have three people, it has to be first-hand, and it has to be true, and then maybe I will have the heter of Loshon Hara, of saying over the Loshon Hara, but I'll pay
I'm
not here
on Shabbos. Started the Torah Way, Northwest London. Tuesday, Cafe Ador Rishon, 5th of March. Rabbi Elio Hai, Halachas of Shehiya on Shabbos. This week's Started the Torah Way Shurim have been sponsored anonymously in Vilis Chus, Hashavuim, Vachayorim, Vamil Kamar, Shachzul, Levotahem, Shalom, Vim Heiro.
Amen.
Okay, good morning. So I'd like to share a shaila that was an actual shaila here in Golders Green about a month ago in one of the Bote Medrash in the area. It was a shaila that was presented to me la'acha ma'isa. It wasn't halacha ma'isa, but this was the shaila. And I think it's a good catalyst to discuss a few halachas of Shehiya through this shaila. So the case was that in one of the shuls in the area, they have a big Shabbos kettle. And there's a very big one, which normally takes a few hours to heat up, to make the water hot. And normally it's done well before Shabbos comes in. Now the way the Shabbos kettle works is one of the old types that has a knob. So it's got a few numbers and it can get up to number 6. So normally I imagine they'd leave it on for a few hours at number 6. And what actually happened was the person who normally turns it on forgot.
No,
it
was away.
It was away.
He normally does it 6:30 in the morning.
6:30 in the morning, and it gets hot by.
Like this, I don't know, it takes whatever it takes. Like, this is all in time.
And he was away. He was away, so they only put it on close to Shabbos, and they put it on number 2. And on Leil Shabbos, when people came to the Beis HaMedrash to learn at about 10 o'clock, it was still cold, the water. It wasn't hot. It wasn't Yatzei Ledesboi. And on Shabbos morning, when everyone has their coffee, Kedarkom Bakoidesh, the water was hot. And the shaila was, can everybody have their regular weekly Shabbos coffee? Pachas HaYosef, right? Okay. So, that's the shaila. That was the question, la halacha, that was asked. So as an introduction to answer the question, first of all, just to give some context, there's a gzeir of Shehiya that's obviously well known to all of us, and not to be conflated with Bishul. Bishul is a completely different issa. Bishul is a malacha d'oraisa. However, Shehiya is merely leaving a food that is not significant, not sufficiently cooked on a fire as Shabbos comes in. That's also, even though I'm not doing anything on Shabbos, yeah? Taking uncooked food and leaving it on a fire, even though it cooks throughout Shabbos, absolutely no problem, mitzad the Issa Bishul. Because the malacha of Bishul is only performed and is also if you do an action on Shabbos, if you put the food on the fire on Shabbos. Here the person's putting it before Shabbos. They're not doing any bishul whatsoever. Nevertheless, in many cases, Chazal v'choshesh, that the person might want the food quicker than what it's, than the rate that it's cooking, and therefore the person might come to be mechata the gecholim, he might come to stoke the flame, to make the fire greater, and therefore cook the food faster, and that would be a melach of mavir, he's mavir on Shabbos, lo yisavaru esh b'chol mishviseichem. So that was the gezeira of Shehiyah, and now of course, many cases where it's mutter, if the food's already machal ben derusai, if it's almost, it's cooked, it's nechal ilideat chak, so the person's not going to stoke it, it's already okay. If it's not cooked at all, also there's a heter. If it's going to take hours and hours to cook, what are you going to be mechata for? For tomorrow? It's going to be ready tomorrow anyway. For tonight, it's not going to be ready even if you are mechata. So there are a lot of circumstances within which Chazal were not goyza. Okay? Agav, derech agav, there's one of the svoras to be mekel when it comes to a hot plate, is that most hot plates today don't have knobs. You can't turn them up. And therefore, many poiskim hold that it's not shaykh to the gezeira of chitui. I'm not talking about chazorah, putting stuff back on the hot plate on Shabbos. Leaving even food that is somewhat cooked, but not yet machal ben drusai, which is the classic food that's also on a hot plate, many poiskim are mekel, because how can I do chitui? I can't raise the flame. Okay. Is everyone clear on the general context of the gezeira, yeah? So there's an issa to leave foods on a fire as Shabbos comes in if they are not completely cooked or at least cooked kamachal ben drusai, unless it's going to take so long for them to cook, even if you were to stoke them, it wouldn't help you for tonight. And for tomorrow, it's anyway good, so I don't need to stoke the flame. Right? Now, on a hot plate, many are mekel, seeing as there's no knob and it's not shaykh, it's not an eish that you can do chitui to. Rav Eliashiv was machmir famously, he held its loy pelug rabbonon, and therefore he held you should cover the hot plate with a few layers of silver foil before you put anything, even before you leave anything on the fire as Shabbos comes in. Fine. Now in our case, we're talking about a Shabbos kettle that you can raise the knob. It was on number two, yeah. And we know for a fact that as Shabbos came in, it was not Yatzei Ledes Boy, because at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the evening, when people wanted to have their tea, whilst they're learning. It wasn't hot yet. It wasn't Yatzei Ledes Bo yet. And in the morning, it was. Now, there's a general idea when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos called Ne'er Nemi Maisa Shabbos. Somebody's not allowed, if a melocha was done and it affected the chayfet, it affected something, let's say a food was cooked on Shabbos, Be'issa, someone mamash put it on the fire on Shabbos Be'issa, you're not allowed to have that food, right? There's different protein, B'shoigig, B'mezid, for the person themselves, for others. When it comes to Shehiyah, it is unanimously agreed upon, even outside of Ne'er Mimaisa Shabbos. At the end of the day, no one did the melocha here. Shehiyah, we even more machmir. Everybody agrees, even B'shoigeg, no one can have it until Motzei Shabbos.
So what does
Shehiyah
mean?
Shehiyah means you left food that you were not allowed to leave on the fire as Shabbos came in. You didn't do bishul. You didn't do an act of cooking on Shabbos. Nobody put the food on the fire on Shabbos. But there's a gezeirah of Shehiyah, don't leave certain foods, I'm saying the word certain foods because there's lots of details, don't leave an uncooked food on a fire as Shabbos comes in, lest you come to stoke the fire in order to get the food ready at a quicker rate so you can eat it earlier. Yeah? Clear? That's a gezeirah. And if that was done, nobody is allowed to have that food. Here it was done for all the mispalalim in the Beis HaMedrash. None of them would be allowed to have that food until Motzei Shabbos.
So it's a food that
It's a good question. It's a good question. There is mutter because you're not called nene from the melacha. Unless it's something that is like hot water, the poiskim redo is klar. There's a difference between cold water and hot water is more significant than a raw carrot and a cooked carrot. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Huh?
Yeah,
I understand the difference. But when it comes to water, it's explicit in the poiskim. It's a very good question. It's explicit in the poskim that even though you could drink the water cold or not cooked, nevertheless, it's called a nene, having hot water. The drinking of hot water is significantly different. It's almost like a different type of shtia, and that's also if shehiyah was done. Okay? So the chayra here, it's very clear. The psak should be that there's no heta for people to drink that coffee, their tea, that hot water on Shabbos because the gzeira of Shehiyah, the issue of Shehiyah occurred. It happened. Even if it was b'shoigeg, we're not saying anyone did anything. We made it. Yeah.
Even though you said it was only drab, I mean, it's only drab.
Even though it's machmir. Yes, we're machmir. We're machmir. It's and that's explicit in the Gemara. I mean, it's a machlokes amaron. We paskin like that. That's not a shaila.
You said it's beitzah shel olda
b'yoltach. Why?
Because it's a new.
It's an Indian of Noilad. It's a new thing that wasn't around before Yom Tov. It's a bit of a different idea.
It wasn't before.
No, it's not called the Noilad. It's a different Nakuda. And the Nakuda is you were over the person's Beit Hashanah. Has nothing to do. I didn't do any Issa, right? This person. You did. There was an Issa. It was Meshaygig. You left food on the fire as Shabbos came in. Yeah, that's an Issa. It's a shayla. It's a machloek between the Chazanisha and the Mishra Bura. If a monkey came and put the food on the fire, I have to take it off. Yeah? Right? So that's a shayla, whether the isra is the fact that you put it on and didn't take it off, i.e. I put it on in mikoyach my maisa, it's there, or the fact that before Ashabas came in, I didn't take it off. Fine, we can talk about the lomdas, but everybody agrees in this case that an isra was done. It might have been an isra b'shoigeg, it might have been with good kavonas for Oynag Shabbos, but at the end of the day, an isra occurred, and the result of that, the consequence of that issa occurring is that this food that this was done with, you can't have hanor from on Shabbos.
What's with water? It has to be boiling before Shabbos?
Very good, very good. It has to be yad soy ledes boy. What is yad soy ledes boy?
45 degrees.
Let's say 45 degrees. That's a very...
Couldn't make a cup of tea with it.
Irrelevant, but once it's hot, then it's no worse, it's probably better, but it's no worse than a food that's machal ben derusai.
Then it can go on heating over.
Absolutely, because as we've mentioned, there's no isabishal here. It's all about shahia, right? Very, very, very good point. Yeah? So as long as the water would be, that's why I said, at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, when someone was there on Friday night learning, and they wanted to make their hot tea, it wasn't, the water wasn't even yad soy ledes, but at least that's what the person who presented the shayla to me told me. But that's a very important point, because if it would have been yad soy ledes boy when Shabbos came in, of course there would be no question. There'd be no problem. You can heat up over Shabbos and you'd be able to. The same as your cholent, except the cholent yad soy ledes boy is not good enough. It has to be machal ben derusai. Yeah. Correct. Okay. So Rabbi says it's clear, the shayla is clear, and the pashtus halacha is also clear that it should be also. And indeed, I think the mispalim in the Beis Hamedrash, will correct me if I'm wrong, adhered from having their coffee. Okay, yeah, you think so?
I have a lot of scratch in the head.
So there was some frustration. There was a okay. So Lemaisa, when this question was presented to me, I thought of two svaras. I still think they're good svaras. Two svaras in the poskim that I admit are not. Niskabel by Roiv Minyan Ubinyan of the Poiskin. But I think the Svaras are quite interesting. They're, and we could perhaps put them both together and be Mekel, at least B'di'eved. I'm not suggesting that you can be Mekel Chatchila. Let me share these Svaras with you. The first Svara is a Svara written in a sefer called Gidulei Tzion, and a few of the later Achroinim write this Svara. The Gidulei Tzion writes a very interesting Svara. He says, Chazal were talking about Kecholim. They're talking about coals. They didn't have any fires like we have today. The standard fire in Chazal's times, and we can see this in Chazal, it's explicit. Shema yichata begecholim. They had coals. Says the Gidul Etzion, he says, coals naturally go out. The fire naturally goes down, right? Everybody knows that. A barbecue, you need to keep on giving it some life. So says the Gidul Etzion, that's where Chazal were choshesh, that you would come to be mechate, you would come to stoke it. You'd see, oh, it's after 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is, it needs some help. So you'd stoke the fire. Nowadays, we have steady flames, right? Most flames are steady. When you put a food on the fire, you know exactly where the fire is going to be. It's going to be at this level in an hour, in half an hour, in 20 minutes. It's not something that naturally requires a chitui to maintain the heat that you set it at right at the beginning. Says the Gidul Etzion, this type of fire is bichlal not part of the gzeira.
You might make the gas higher.
There's no doubt that there's a chance, and people do often when they're cooking, make the gas higher. Some people start on a low flame. There's foods that dafka you go up. But the Gidul Etzion's argument is that it's not the same chashash as in Chazal's times. In Chazal's times, you could have a person who says, "I want to add this flame. It will take an hour at this flame." Oh, but what can I do? 5 minutes later, the flame's not where it was, not where I wanted it to be. So that means it's a fire that naturally goes down, and always, you can never predict what the flame is going to be. So therefore, it always requires a constant chitui and a constant oversight of the person being there. Whereas here, I put it at this flame, I know be'erach how long it will take on this flame, and I could move away, so to speak. It's much easier to understand that that flame is not subject to the same chitui that Chazal were talking about. Okay, I appreciate most poskim. If you'd go with this far, then we'd machavek the entire gezeirah shehiyah nowadays. I'm not denying the fact that the Roiv Minyan Ubinyan of contemporary poskim don't go with this svara. But it's a svara that's quoted by the Tzitz Eliezer, and it's used as a tziruf by other poskim as well. I think it's a very stark svara, in my opinion, but it's a svara. I'll put that. That's number one. Gedulei Tzion. There's another very interesting svara of Reb Moshe Feinstein. Reb Moshe Feinstein says, he's talking about gas. I don't see why electricity should be different, but let me know your thoughts. Reb Moshe Feinstein says, he's discussing the whole case, whether you have to cover the knobs as well as the fire. If you've got a blech on the fire, do you have to also cover the knob? And in the middle of his tshuva, he says, other than everything I've written, there's a tam godl leheta, there's a big reason to be matter completely, and say there's no gezer of shehiyah when it comes to gas. Why? Says Reb Moshe, turning up the knob on your gas hob is adding gas, which is the same thing as going, taking pieces of wood and putting it in your fire. Says Reb Moshe, Chazal never choishesh that you're going to go and take pieces of wood and add it to your fire. Chazal choishesh that you'll take the pieces of wood that are already on fire and you'd be mechata it. And Reb Moshe says, why weren't Chazal choishesh that you're going to go and get wood and add it to the fire? So he says one of two reasons, one of two options. Either because people who went to get the wood was far away from their house, and by the time they would have gone to get the wood, they would have chapped it Shabbos. We're not choshesh of people who mazid them, right? We're choshesh of a person will absent-mindedly forget it Shabbos. Oh, he sees this. We'll go out, get some wood. By the time he goes and gets the wood, he would have chapped it Shabbos. That's option number one. Says Reb Moshe, even though nowadays our wood is right next to us, we can just easily turn up the gas, it doesn't matter. You can't make up a new gezeira that wasn't around in Chazal's times. His second option, Reb Moshe says, is that really the wood was near their fires as well. And that's very mistaba. He says, it's not mistaba. They took exactly the amount of wood that they require for this bishul. They probably had wood near their fires. If you look in houses that are in the countryside, they often have a sort of cupboard full of wood, right, where you can go and add wood. Yeah. Says Reb Moshe, so why weren't they choshesh? He says, a very big chiddush. He says, kanira Chazal were only choshesh for someone absent-mindedly blowing the flame. You sometimes see in barbecue, some people blow the flame. They weren't worried that you'd even do a maisa b'yodayim, you'd chap yourself. Even to do this, they weren't worried. Chazal weren't worried you would physically stoke the flame. They were worried with your mouth you would blow and stoke the flame. Either way, whichever way you menaseach it, Moshe Feinstein takes some bipshitos, and the chayra, it's chlora, so he proves it from the sugyas. He proves that there's no chashash that you will add fuel to the fire. Yeah? We see Chazal made differences between Gefes and Eitzim, etc. If you were choshesh that you're going to add things to the fire, then even the weakest fuel should be part of the gzera, because you might come to add fuel. Clearly, Chazal were not choshesh that you might add fuel, says Reb Moshe. Adding gas, turning up the knob to add gas, is the same as adding fuel. It's not part of the gzera.
Yeah, but it's more physical work to do to go and fetch the...
I agree. Reb Moshe deals with that. I agree. It's more physical work to do to go and fetch Eitzim and put them in the fire rather than turning up the gas. So Reb Moshe, to answer the question, Reb Moshe, I said before, he says, you can't make up your own gzeiras, but I'll say it in Reb Moshe's way. He adds another shtark asvara. He says, imagine if, when in Chazal's time, when they made the gzeira of Shia, and they said, we're not worried that you're going to go to the field and get Eitzim, because that's a big action. But we are worried you're going to stoke the flame, right? 3 years after that gzeira came along, it became normal to have wood right next to your fire. Says Reb Moshe, does anyone think that because the metzias changed and now wood is right next to the fire, that automatically that would be part of the gzeira? Says Reb Moshe, avad anisht. We would need Chazal to sit down again and come along and say, now we're geyser even on adding fuel. It's normal for people to have fuel. Says Reb Moshe, nowadays it's become normal for us to have wood next to our fire. Okay, but we'd need Chazal to come along and say, okay, so now we are geyser that you can't, that we're choishesh that you might add fuel. There's no chazal to do that, and therefore Rav Moshe says it's not b'chlal d'gzera. Let me be very clear. Rav Moshe is not soymuch on this tam. He brings it in his tshuva as another reason to say that you don't need to cover the knobs if the fire itself is covered. But he does call the svara a tam godl leheta, and he seems to be mechavah. He seems to give certain credence to the svara. I'm not saying he relies on it. If you'd rely on the svara once again, I think in almost all fires today, we would not have the gzera of Shehiyah whatsoever. I do want to share a case which is similar to this case, where we do rely on this svara. At least some poskim do. There's another gzera called Shemoyate. Chazal say you're not allowed to be koire le'oir haner. You're not allowed to read or learn le'oir haner on Shabbos, because you might come and tilt. In Chazal's times, the ner was a wick in a glass, let's say, something, a kli that held oil, and you might sometimes, to get more light, tilt the oil so it goes up the wick and the flame becomes brighter, right? So nowadays, most of our lights, according to the overwhelming majority of poskim, aren't subject to that gzera, because it's a switch. Well, how are you going to make it higher? However, there is something called the dimmer switch, which I'm sure we're all familiar with, where you can turn it up. So there's a question amongst the poskim: are you allowed to learn, read, le'oir haner, a dimmer switch? You might come to raise the flame. And there are two svaras that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Avadi Yosef both say to be mekel. Some say, everyone says it's nice to put a sticker on it saying Shabbos, just to remind you. But there are two svaras that Me'ika Adin, Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Avadi Yosef, both say le'kula. One is the Gidulei Tzion svara, that it's a steady flame. It's not like in Chazal's times, that was probably quite common, that at some point the flame would start flickering. It would start going lower than you originally anticipated. Here you know exactly, before Shabbos, exactly what to set it at, and it's going to stay like that the whole Shabbos. So that's svara number one. It's not subject to the gzera of Shemayata, because this is a steady light. Number two, they say this Reb Moshe Feinstein svara: adding voltage, adding electricity, is like adding fuel. Chazal weren't choishish that you're going to go and get oil and pour it into the kli. Chazal were choishish that you might tilt the oil so it goes up the wick and produces a better flame. They weren't choishish you'll get new oil and add it. Turning up the dimmer switch, says Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Avadia, is tantamount, is the same as adding oil to the kli. Again, Reb Nissim argues on the latter svara. He says, seeing as it's part and parcel of the kli, it's not the same as adding oil. I'm not saying that there aren't poskim who argue. However, we see two contemporary poskim use these svaras not by shehiyah, they use it at least by shemoyate. And I have said that the Tzitz Eliezer and others are mitzaref the svara, both svaras, by shehiyah. So I'm wondering, in our case, in this shul, you have both svaras which are relevant to chayra. Svara number one is that it was put on two, it's a steady flame. It might not be subject to the gzeir shehiyah. Svara number two is the chashash that a person might tilt or turn the knob to number six and thereby getting the water to be hot quicker. That's l'chayra, the same as Rav Moshe's taina of adding fuel, which is not part of the gzeir according to his svara. And therefore, b'tziruf to both these svaras, b'di'evet, I'm never suggesting that anyone should rely on this l'chatchila, b'di'evet, on a one-off occasion, especially if it's very difficult for people, but I'm not sure how difficult it was, there's room to be mekel. So when
somebody actually covered the knob, because he thought that maybe it's...
Somebody covered the knob before Shabbos?
I'm not sure when he covered it.
Well, that would make a big difference, because there are some poskim who hold, I think Rabbi Aaron Kotler is included, who hold that covering the knob is a good enough covering, meaning it wouldn't need to be the actual fire needs to be covered. The knob itself would be enough. That's where they hold the Ikka Grifuk Tima should be. And according to them, you'd have another reason to be mekel. But by the way, there's a rule that if you cover a fire, let's say with a blech, most poskim say once the fire is covered, then it's going to serve as a reminder. It's a covered fire. You're not going to come to do chitri. Now, don't suggest that all our Shabbos kettles have a covered fire. I'm not sure how this one works. Some of them, the element is sticking out in the water, and others have the element underneath. The new ones are covered. That's not considered a covering, because this is part and parcel of the kli that it's covered. Number two, the reason why they cover it has got nothing to do with lowering the koyach of the esh. It's on the contrary, it's either for safety or sometimes in order to help the Eish. Let's say a Plata is covered, it probably enables the Eish to function. So it's possible that these fires are not called Goruf Fakotum Mitzad that. However, if the knob is covered, I think the Ikka Halacha is that the fire has to be covered, not the knobs. However, it's a Tziruf, another Tziruf to be Mekel.
Presumably, Reb Moshe and Reb Shlomo Zalman are not saying it's okay to turn the thing up, but rather there's no chashash that if you do it b'shogeg.
Precisely. Not that there's no chashash if you do it b'shogeg. First of all, obviously they're saying you can't do that, but they're saying that leaving food on a fire that one could do that to, leaving food is not prohibited. Yeah, because we're not choishish, you would come to turn it up. It's dissimilar, it's not associated with how Chazal conceptualized their Gezerah. And therefore we can't extrapolate from what they were talking about to this circumstance.
When you turn up the knob, you hear a click, and the flame starts to to work, so to speak.
Okay.
There's no chashash there of, is it a muktzah, is it an issa of...
Even if it's the biggest issa in the entire Torah... Who says we're choishish you would do that? The only place where Chazal talk about something that could make us think that they were choishish we would do that is by Shehiyah. And the Svara, the two Svaras that I've mentioned, would remove this case from that chashash. Yeah?
I don't have a problem with electricity, for instance.
That we've got a problem. No one here is thinking about being matter, electricity, or anything of the sort. Don't get me wrong. Completely also to turn up the knob, no question in the world. The shaila is when I leave my food on a fire, that the only way to do chitui would be by turning up the knob. Is that within the gzeira of chitui? Not the maisa. Is the leaving of the food on this fire the same as what Chazal were talking about, leaving food on a coal fire? Or no, it's a different chashash. A coal fire is naturally something that somebody would always shake or blow. And number two, a coal fire, I'm not adding fuel. Here, I'm adding fuel, which is completely awesome, but Chazal went choishish for that. Uh-huh. Yeah? So,
it applies, for example, a lukewarm kegel, edible, cooked into edible, but not like, but if you leave it on the blech, it'll get warmer.
No, it doesn't apply to that, because that is probably more, but at least Machel Ben Drusai. Sorry?
Can you put a lukewarm kegel Friday afternoon, which you know you can get warm by tomorrow? Yeah.
Yes. You can do that, sure. Huh?
So what does the Moshe say?
Again, Reb Moshe, like many poskim,
where's the line go?
Reb Moshe, unfortunately, doesn't talk about this case. Reb Moshe is talking about another case, and I think he's talking about a case where the fire is covered with a blech, and the question is, are you mechuyev also to cover the knot? So Reb Moshe says, first of all, the Ikka Kisu is on the fire, not on the knobs. That's his shitta. I mentioned the Baron Kotler, apparently argues. Number two, he might mention a few svaras, I don't remember. But one of the svaras he says is that, and anyway, there's a svara bichlal to say that all these fires are not part of the Gzeirah of Shehiyah, and therefore that's another reason not to require the person to cover the knobs. By the way, he says it's nice to cover the knobs as well.
He said,
we don't know. He definitely didn't hold that in general. What he would have said in the case of Bidi'evid, we don't know. But he says a svara that he considers a good svara. I'm not saying he relies on it. As I say, the words he uses, tam godl leheta. Now, when I said these svaras, I said it in Koilel, someone asked me the question on Sunday. He was there in the Beis HaMedrash. And I said, these two svaras, there's mokum lakas. They said the rov there, and said everyone should have their coffee at home. I said, okay, that's understandable. It's not shver. The next day, he asked me, there's another big Rav who asked for the Svaras Lahakal, he doesn't see any Mokum Lahakal. So I wrote them on the paper, and they said, okay, you've convinced me enough that, I wasn't there, but apparently this big Rav said, you've convinced me enough that B'Shas Adchak, I'd be Mekel, but a few people needing a coffee on Shabbos morning, I wouldn't consider a Shas Adchak. Alright, you're not sure if you would, huh? I think the people who were there might consider it, Shas Adchak. I said especially, I didn't know what you mentioned today, I said especially if the person who was meant to have turned on the hot water earlier was there. Imagine if he would have been there and he would have forgotten. That's what I thought the Shaila was. It would have been big bushes for him. People get very upset if their weekly Shabbos morning coffee... Yeah, exactly. That's not Shas Adchak. So everything within perspective. I will say that I spoke to two other Rabbonim who took on Bepshitus, it's fine with the Eved based on a Chazanish, but I can't go into that now. I don't agree with that whatsoever. So I didn't come and say Halacha L'maisa. I just came and say two Svaras, and I think with the Eved Yesh Mokum L'Hokel, but of course not if there was a Zokin, and especially the Rav there, phenomenal Talmud Chokum, who was already Moira Hira, Avada, that Psak should be followed.
How is it you can't take food out of a Chura pot while it's on the fire, on the heating element, but you can take hot water out of your urn while it's on the fire?
That's a good point. The idea of not taking food or cholent off the fire, out of the pot whilst the pot is on the fire, yes, is a din called hagosa, yeah, which is a very interesting halacha, because really the food is completely cooked.
Yeah.
And therefore it's hard to understand what the issa is. The poiskim, I don't want to say the word struggle, the poiskim explain it in different ways. Rav Moshe's got his svara that a solid food, sometimes even if it's fully cooked, there are bits here and there that are not completely cooked, and that can only become cooked by someone stirring it. And then a further stringency, a further chumra, is that the poiskim say, even if you're not mama stirring it, some poiskim, not all, say just taking it out with a big spoon or with a ladle is also like a stirring. That's not so clear, yeah? There are many poiskim, the Ben Ish Chai has asked the Shail, if there's a big pot and there's a woman, her husband's not home, she needs to prepare. I don't know, maybe someone will get very upset if it's not all prepared. And she can't lift it. Yeah. The Ben Ish Chai is mekel as long as she doesn't, b'shas adchak, as long as she doesn't stir it, as long as she's only taking it out calmly, so to speak, without a stir. When it comes to something like water, where it's not with a cuff, it's no stirring, it's a liquid, therefore it's not the same. Yeah, it's
solid kibble, which you can't stir. Can you take out a spoon of kibble on the flame? You can't stir, it's got no liquid in it.
It's a good shaila. I don't remember offhand. However, there's mokum to be made, but I think the olam ha-machmer are even on that. But I might be wrong. Yeah. Sorry.
You can't stir it.
I hear. I'm not sure.
Next year.
Maybe next year. Okay.
Next year.